This morning, our reading is found in Mark chapter 6. And you're welcome to follow in the pew Bibles that are under your seats, or simply listen as I read. Jesus left that place and went back to his hometown, followed by his disciples. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many people were there, and when they heard him, they were all amazed. "Where did he get all this?" they asked. "And what wisdom is this that has been given him? How does he perform miracles? Isn't he the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters living here?" And so they rejected him. And Jesus said to them, "Prophets are respected everywhere except in their own hometown and by their relatives and their family." And he was not able to perform any miracles there, except that he placed his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he was greatly surprised because the people did not have faith. And then Jesus went to the villages around there teaching the people. He called the 12 disciples together and sent them out two by two. He gave them authority over the evil spirits and ordered them, "Don't take anything with you on the trip except a walking stick, no bread, no beggar's bag, no money in your pockets. Wear sandals, but don't carry an extra shirt." He also told them, "Wherever you are welcomed, stay in that house until you leave that place. And if you come to a town where people do not welcome you or will not listen to you, leave it and shake the dust off your feet. That will be a warning to them." And so they went out and preached that people should turn away from their sins. And they drove out many demons and rubbed olive oil on many sick people and healed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now, here are two parallel stories about mission. They address the rejection of Christian mission and message by some people, particularly in Jesus' hometown. And the first six verses tell of Jesus preaching and his effort to heal some. And the people there, because they knew Jesus, were suspicious and cynical. The second story has Jesus calling and sending out his disciples. And he tells them, if they are rejected, to shake the dust off of your feet. And his words come from a custom that the Jews knew when they went to Gentile lands and they came back into Israel, they would shake the dust, the Gentile dust, off their feet where they were not always welcome. Now, these two stories are about ministry and mission and being rejected, being dismissed as irrelevant. Just this week, I met with one group of leaders focusing on considering how we make effective our outreach in words. We discussed how we would reach out as a congregation with the good news of Meadow Lake Presbyterian Church. I also met with another group focusing on fresh outreach ministries of compassion. And frankly, many congregations make a distinction between the two. They make a distinction between an outreach in deeds and an outreach in words. And it is the difference between social action and evangelism. And sometimes we probably worry too much about separating these two. Many church people are noticing the popular response these days to the Elevation Church and other similar congregations. And they offer a professional, loud quality of worship music and powerful preaching. And they ask little from participants while they provide a biblical agenda for living. And I think the crowds and the success and the size of everything makes you and me wonder about what we're doing wrong. And so there comes in most mainline church congregations, I think, a certain anxiety about what they're doing and how they're doing it.
And we might assume such churches are successfully communicating the gospel as shown by their popularity, and maybe we're not. Now, I do not bring this subject up to talk badly about their efforts. I think their work should make us wonder about what we're doing. We do share something in common, and it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that is shaping our lives. And often you and I are suspicious of the influences that shape us. Sometimes we think it is rare when we hear an evangelist appropriately devoted to the right kinds of social actions. And sometimes we may think it's rare when we see a social activist appropriately devoted to the right kind of faith and belief. And we may think it's rare when actions and faith are put together the right way. But whenever it is, we're influenced by it. We notice it. Powerful illustration of the balance between doing the word and hearing the word was offered at commencement exercises at Emory University in Decatur, Georgia, several years ago. Honorary degrees were being awarded, and the honorees made speeches, and as is often the case, students chatted through the entire ceremony. They weren't paying attention. But there was one moment when they listened. There was an honoree named Hugh Thompson, who was likely the least educated man on the platform. He did not finish college. He chose instead to enlist in the Army, where he became a helicopter pilot. And on March 16, 1968, he was flying a routine patrol in Vietnam when he happened to fly over the village of My Lai, just as American troops under the command of Lieutenant William Calley were slaughtering dozens of unarmed villagers, old men and women and children. Thompson set his helicopter down between the troops and the remaining civilians, and he ordered his tail gunner to train the helicopter guns on American soldiers, and he ordered the gunman to stop killing villagers. Hugh Thompson's actions saved the lives of dozens of people, and he was almost court-martialed for doing this. But it was 30 years later before the U.S. Army awarded him the Soldier's Medal. As he stood at the microphone, the students grew still, and Thompson spoke about his faith. Simple words. He spoke of what his parents had taught him as a child. "They taught me, do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Students were amazed at these words of Jesus, words from Sunday school, words from worship, words of Christian testimony, so much so that they rose to their feet and they gave him a standing ovation. Thompson's words had weight to them because they put together a spoken faith with amazing actions that made a difference. In the same way, you and I notice, don't we, when deeds and actions are together, it influences us. Now, there have been times in your life and mine when we have caught glimpses of such a gospel. And this is precisely what Jesus wanted his followers, his disciples, to offer as he sent them out. Frankly, his sending them out had a ripple effect down through the centuries. And this church is part of that effort to send people out into the world with the good news of the gospel. This church was founded by people who had a burning desire in their hearts to share Jesus Christ and to live Jesus Christ in this community. And we've been shaped by their effort. But sometimes it's hard for you and me to see it and hear it. And so this morning, I would like to show you how the gospel is shaping your life. It is gospel that God has claimed you and me in baptism. Someone stood over us somewhere, whether we were being immersed as young believers, new to the faith, or as children held by a mother or father. However it was done, the church acted out God's claiming us. And this is good news. It is gospel in your life and my life. It is gospel that God is still at work helping you and me to come to faith in Jesus Christ. You've heard the message of Jesus and you've been told and shown His love. But in a less than perfect church, in a less than perfect world, you and I have questions, don't we? A good many of us here have questions about the faith that this church holds dear. And sometimes a minister or a teacher does not connect to us. Sometimes a less than perfect congregation gets in our way for some reason. Something happens. And you and I have questions that never get addressed. But God is still at work, encouraging us to see Jesus, because He is our good news and He is the gospel that is shaping us. It's gospel that the Church of Jesus Christ is filled with people of different levels of faith and commitment. It's true. Every congregation I've served in is true of Meadowlight. And they keep trying to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ in some way. We are here. And this is good news. Frankly, it is gospel. At the beginning of Mark's story in chapter 1, Jesus' words are recorded. And they're echoed across every episode that is told in this book that we call the Gospel of Mark, all 16 chapters. And it is gospel that Jesus said once, the time is fulfilled. There is something pregnant, even about this moment, on this day, as we recall His words. It is gospel that the kingdom of God has come near, and Jesus is telling people that God is present in the sharing of this good news. Even now, God is present. And He's saying, you're at a new place in being open to what is spiritual, and there is something happening in this moment that relays the presence of God. It's true, especially now. Especially here. It's gospel that Jesus calls you and me to change our minds and our ways and our lives. He's calling us to repent. You see, that there are better ways to live, and you and I can be different people if we open ourselves to change. We can experience another world. We can experience something being created by God. We're not stuck in whatever predicament we believe has painted us into some corner. There's reason to believe that we can change. I'm sharing this here and no one here is objecting with me. I wish Kate Spade, perhaps, and Anthony Bourdain and others might have considered those ideas before they took their lives. There is reason to believe that we can change with God's help. And this is good news. It is gospel that is shaping your life and mine. And it's happening here every Sunday as we gather. And it is gospel that Jesus invites us to believe in His love and in His effort to bring us to faith. Because what we think and trust and hold as true really matters. Jesus asks us to believe in the good news. The message of Jesus engages you and me and asks something of us. We're not passive recipients to all this. This is about our lives and our decisions and our future. And the truth is, Jesus is alive. And Jesus wants to be involved in our hearts and minds. He wants to be real in and through us by faith. This is gospel. And it's shaping you and me. And today as a congregation, we are reinventing ourselves again as God's people. And we all did that when we first decided to follow Jesus, whenever that was in your life. And we all did that when we first decided to start coming to Meadowlight Presbyterian Church. Your life changed in some way by beginning to come to be part of this body. And we are doing this again as we identify spiritual gifts. And right now there are 35 pictures of you out on this atrium wall. And hopefully maybe after today, after our service, there'll be more. We're also doing it as we organize a group of fellow members to consider how we can reach out in Jesus' name with His compassion and faith. That's happening as we speak. And we may do it again as we bow our heads and ask Jesus to be Lord over us, and as we ask Him to save us from ourselves and our world. At the close of my message, you'll have that opportunity, and I'll lead you in it. to receive Christ anew into our lives by faith. Now that's the work of the Spirit. There's a gospel that is shaping your life. Today it is enough to remember that we care about congruence. Do you know that word? We care about words matching deeds. And we hear the example of Hugh Thompson. And there are other examples that we could add to this story, because those stories and those examples have shaped your life and my life. These days we might be tempted to be anxious about this new effort to share the good news of this church with others. And we might be tempted to be anxious about new efforts to show compassion and care with neighbors. But we should not worry. What this world needs is what you and I care about. Words and deeds together. So we have no need of pretending to be the Elevation Church, because that's not who we are. We're Metalite Church. And all we need to do is share what has been shaping us, simply speaking the truth in love from the heart in our own words and never being ashamed. That's what Jesus sent his disciples out to do. And today this church is part of that ripple effect in the world. And it continues in the minds and hearts of many in this congregation. The gospel of Jesus Christ has shaped your life. And it continues to make you and me who we are. It's not happening perfectly. I am sure of that, and you know that's true. But it's happening in God's way and in God's time. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now I want to pause before we enter our prayer time as a congregation. There may be some of you here who wish to receive Christ anew by faith. And I want to lead you in that. The rest of you can sit quietly and simply listen. Join me if you will. Almighty God, we pause, having heard these stories from Mark chapter 6. And we see these disciples being sent out into the world. And your people have been sent out for centuries, Lord. And so there were believers who helped create this church with a similar passion to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And so here we are. We gather here this day. We recognize, Lord, that this moment may be pregnant with the kingdom of God. Your kingdom, your rule and reign is near to us. And so, as I stand here, Lord, I seek to repent of my sin. And I pray on behalf of others who seek to turn from their sin. Help those of us who are praying before you, coming before you now, help us to know that there's another way to live. Enable us by your Spirit to change our ways and our lives. We would ask you now, Lord, that you fill us with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts by faith. And where we don't believe as we think we're supposed to, fill in the gaps. Help us to believe in your good news so that we might be a faithful people who are being used to make a difference in this world, just as you sent out those early disciples. Now, accept our prayers. Accept us imperfect as we are. Fill us with Jesus Christ. Fill us with His presence and His Spirit. And enable us to go from this place alive with His love and compassion in our hearts. Deliver us from judging ourselves too harshly. And enable us to be open to your leading. For we ask in His name, Amen.